This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today's podcast is all about hydration. This is a great new book entitled Quench. It's about the science of hydration. Our guest is Dr. Dana Cohen. She's one of my good colleagues here in New York City, and she is currently medical director of Complete Wellness, an integrated medical wellness facility in the heart of Manhattan. Can you give out information about that? What's the website?
Yep. www.completewellnessnyc.com.
Okay. And an experienced integrated physician. So in the past, by the way, we did an interview with, we've done several interviews with Dana, but she's also an expert on chelation therapy. And we did an entire podcast about chelation therapy in the past. Okay, so going ahead on Quench, I got a lot of questions. So you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
All right, let's go.
Go easy on me.
I'm going to hit you with my best shots here. Okay, fire away. Okay, so you know, in part one, we established you know, why thirst is not a good guide to hydration status, and we ought to make hydration more of a routine, you know, like a preemptive hydration. So I think one of your propositions is that when you get up in the morning, you should hydrate, right? I mean, people, you know, they don't drink, some of them snore, they have their mouths open. That's a major route of loss of moisture, even though, you know, whether or not you go to the bathroom, and some people do overnight, right?
Yeah. I really do highly, highly recommend sort of front loading your water. I call it front loading. You spoke about Gina earlier. She talks about a lot of desert people that specifically do this. So they front load their water, drink a lot of water in the morning, and then you still need to get some other hydration throughout the day. But I think it's a good practice to get into for a couple of reasons. And I do think it's a little controversial, but I'll give you my reasons. So number one, I started writing this book 3 years ago, and clinically I've been telling patients to do this, and they remark that they're hydrating better just from doing that one step. Mm-hmm. And the step is this: 16 ounces of water first thing in the morning. I typically have them put a little sea salt in there and maybe a little squeeze of lemon as your first thing in the morning. One of the you know, we talk about mind-blowing aspects of the book. One of the things that I found out and didn't really know or quite understand is that when we sleep at night, is when we really, that's when our detoxification happens. And we need water to detoxify. It needs to flow in and out of us through our fluid system.
Mm-hmm. And even in the brain, there's this system, yes, that is the brain. It's called the glymphatic system. It's the glial lymphatic system. You know, we know, yes, it's a lymphatic system in the body. You know, we have lymph nodes, but the brain has a lymphatic system, and it seems to be particularly active at doing housekeeping and getting rid of crud, yeah, at night. And if it doesn't, if you have sleep deprivation, that housework is not going to be accomplished.
You're not detoxifying. Yeah, that's a mind-blowing discovery. They literally discovered a new physical system that they didn't know existed, only within the last few years, this glymphatic system. Very, and so fascinating. So yeah, we're detoxifying at night. That requires hydration. All the more reason why first thing in the morning you need to replenish that.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so what I like to do in the morning is I like to have a nice cup of coffee. And it's decaf. I'm virtuous. I'm having decaffeinated. In fact, I've got a new sponsor I'm going to be talking about. I won't talk about it now, but who I finally found a sponsor who's making Swiss processed organic coffee that's actually boosted in antioxidant capacity. So, and I had some, and it's great. But I have to say, I guzzle decaf. That's one of my major sources of hydration. Am I making a mistake? Is that, you know, because coffee and caffeine is dehydrating, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the studies show that caffeine, cups of coffee, anything over 4 cups becomes a diuretic. Mm-hmm. Anything less than that, it's not a diuretic, and okay. It's not dehydrating.
Interesting.
So that's your answer. Yeah. I always thought it was too. Uh-huh. I was, you know, for years I was like, no, you know, 1 cup of coffee a day, that's it, blah, blah, blah. Decaf is fine, I think, and especially what you're telling me, if this is antioxidant rich decaf coffee, go for it.
Okay. What about alcohol? What's the effect of alcohol on
absolutely.
Because, I mean, you know, I go to the Yankee game. I can't resist. I got to have a beer or two. The other day I went to the game with a Belgian. He had to have 2 beers, so I had to match him.
Of course. I mean, it's dehydrating. Yeah, so one of the rules is for every glass of alcohol that you drink, you have to follow it by a glass of water.
Okay.
You know, I mean, we're all going to imbibe. So this is a livable book and a livable program. So, yeah, but keep in mind, I mean, and people know, I know, if I have even 1 glass of wine, and I can't drink, I'm not a great drinker. So 1 glass of wine, I wake up in the morning, I can't, my mouth is like tar. I can't, it's so dehydrated because it also makes your liver work harder to metabolize it. And some of us have to even work harder at that. Like me.
And by the way, it's a rarity that I drink these days, because ever since I've been on the Whole30, where I went 30 days without any alcohol whatsoever, I've kind of lost my taste for it. But there's something about a ball game.
Yes. Well, we have to live our lives.
Yes.
So just follow it up by an equal amount of water in between.
Okay. What about medications? Are there some medications that have a particularly deleterious effect on hydration status?
Well, when I did my research, I mean, we all know diuretics, you know, particularly. There's very specific ones that are absolutely known to cause dehydration, right?
Lasix and hydrochlorothiazide.
Right, HCTZ, exactly. I came across a list of medications that were reported to the FDA to cause overt dehydration. And the list was unbelievably extensive, including things like proton pump inhibitors, aspirin.
And for our listening, that would be like these medications for GERD.
Prilosec. Omeprazole.
Nexium.
Even some of the simplest medications. And I think, you know, I was like, oh my God, these are people who literally called the FDA because they were dehydrated from the medication.
How about psych meds? Psych meds.
Yeah. There was tons of them. Xanax was definitely one of them. Mm-hmm. Ambien was a big one.
How about the medications that stop you from peeing? You know, these medications that are designed to slow. You would think that they would. You'd become overhydrated if you can't pee, but maybe because you don't experience a need to pee, you just take in less. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
The side effect is dry mouth with some of those medications, so I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah, I think any medication that is a side effect of a dry mouth, you can. I would be completely comfortable in saying it's causing dehydration.
So there's certainly some lifestyle factors that are going to predispose to dehydration among the general populace. I want to talk a little bit about plastic bottles, because these days everybody drinks from a plastic bottle. It's convenient. People don't trust tap water, rightly so, in my opinion. So even if there's a water fountain, they'll spend a couple of bucks, sometimes more, on a plastic bottle of water that they can then throw in their knapsack or their briefcase, and you know, walk around and slug down some water.
Yeah.
Is there a problem with that?
There's a huge problem. I mean, our environment is really suffering from plastic water bottles. We lay out the statistics in the book, and it's massive. What the amount of plastic that we are abusing our our world with. And we have to stop. It's huge. And straws too is the other big plastic straws mm-hmm. that go along with it. They're environmentally a huge problem. And this is, I really think it's not that controversial by me saying that. I think 99% of the people would agree with me.
And there's a report that came out in March. I have it in front of me. Top bottled watered brands contaminated with plastic particles.
Yeah.
The world's leading brands of bottled water are contaminated with tiny plastic particles that are likely seeping in during the packaging process, according to a major study across 9 countries published Wednesday. That was in March. Mm-hmm. Researchers test 250 bottles of water in Brazil, China, India, Indonesia, Kenya, Lebanon, Mexico, Thailand, and the United States. Plastic was identified in 93% of the samples, which included major name brands such as Aqua, Aquafina, Dasani, Evian, Nestle Pure Life, and San Pellegrino. Yeah. The plastic debris included nylon, polyethylene, terephthalate, polypropylene, and on and on and on it goes.
Yeah.
So, wow.
And it makes you wonder why our kids are, you know, going into puberty at 8 years old mm-hmm. because of all these xenoestrogens.
Endocrine disruptors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so glass is de rigueur, right?
Yes. Yes, glass is definitely the way to go. I do think that we are very lucky living in New York because we do have very good water here. Mm-hmm. You know, I thank God that I don't live in Flint, Michigan, where I would have to really find I don't know if they have much choice mm-hmm. other than getting bottled water.
Indeed. Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow our sponsor an opportunity to share a vital message with you. So here goes. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density to ensure your future bone health. It's Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone helps inhibit bone resorption and promotes new bone formation. The Osteothera plus Ipraflavone formulation is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. I believe in Osteothera plus Ipraflavone so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, and I recommend it to my patients. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. And now back to Dr. Dana Cohen. So, what about the chlorine and the fluoride in the water? I mean, should we all be using water filters to remove that?
Really good question. The short answer is probably yes. I do think fluoride is a huge problem. I don't know if you remember, probably 10 years ago, we had the guy from the Fluoride Action Committee come
Bieber.
And speak at ACAM.
Bieber, I think. He used to be the guy. Anyway, whatever.
I can't think of his name. Mm-hmm. And he's still plugging along. I mean, I think there's one state now that has outlawed, I think it's, is it Oregon? That has outlawed the use of fluoride in water.
That sounds right. That sounds right. You know.
Yeah.
Keep Portland weird. You know that thing.
Yeah. Fluoride is a toxin, and I very strongly believe it could be a real player in why there's so much thyroid problems here.
Yeah.
And so there are people still working on it, and I do think ideally we should be filtering our tap water. Ideally, if I had my choice, there's a website called findaspring.com mm-hmm. where you can go and literally collect your own spring water if that is something feasible. Mm-hmm. And there's the list of all of them all over the country. It's a great website. Findaspring.com. Mm-hmm.
And the fluoride alert. .org is the name of the website for the Fluoride Action Network. A lot of information there.
Yeah.
So what about water softeners. That's sort of a bit of a passe idea, but in the, you know, when I was growing up, it was all about water softeners. So you'd install these devices. They sold millions of them. People put in water softeners. Is that a good thing?
I can't speak on it. I don't know a lot about it. I didn't have them when I was growing up.
Okay. I think it mineralizes the water. Carbonated water. That's another vice that I have. Yeah. When I drink, I frequently drink, I got to have bubbly water. It makes me drink more. I like it. I like the feeling. Is that negating the benefits of water?
Nope. That's what I drink. I drink Pellegrino.
Oh, okay. Sparkling.
Sparkling water. Mm-hmm. Yep. I think it's fine. I don't see any research that tells me anything otherwise. Okay. I mean, we're not talking about soda, you know, we're talking about, I like sparkling mineral water, I think is fantastic.
Okay. You know, and what about, sports drinks? Because, you know, the big companies that make, sports drinks, you know, they supposedly are doing a lot of research on the subject of hydration for athletes, right? They put millions of dollars, and they get into all the facets of the right electrolyte balance that can restore normal energy after sweating and after you lose all those electrolytes. And then, of course, you know, if there's a walk-off home run, they just drench you with those, you know, big, a big barrel of, you know, orange sports drink.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think unless you are an elite athlete who can afford all that, you know, sort of sugar, and even if that's the right thing, which I don't think it is, in your drink,
whatever.
Yeah.
Weird colors too. I mean, it's, there's not a lot of things in nature that are sky blue or neon blue.
Right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, so I tend to steer clear of those sports drinks because there's a bunch of junk in them, a lot of sugar. We do give you a do-it-yourself sports drink that is really easy, natural.
I sometimes make my own concoction, you know, because I just don't want to.
So much better.
Yeah, it is, and you save a lot of money too. I mean, Gatorade. You know, in spite of their claims, they claim to be on top of the science of hydration. That's what they're all about. But I think your book is certainly a counterpoint to that approach. Okay, so any amazing case histories? Because in the book, can you touch upon some of the case histories of people who've turned it around with this approach?
Sure. Let me think of a good one. All right. What would be a really powerful one I can tell you about? I'll give you a simple one. I had a patient who came in and had leg pain. And she said it's been happening for a year and she couldn't quite describe it. She hadn't seen anybody for it, but it was this pain behind her knee. And it was bothering her for a year. She did yoga. She was actually quite healthy too. This was, she was a yogi. And she ate well and drank well.
All the tests were negative. No, she had no rheumatoid arthritis, no inflammatory markers, nothing.
Nothing on exam. Right. So, you know, when I first see patients, as I know you do too, that first visit is for us to gather information, do our workup, get our tests, everything done. So in between the time when I first saw her, she was one of the first people, I gave her the 5-day plan to try. I was like, you know what, just try it out. I want you to hydrate even a little bit better. And she came, and then I have them follow up 3 weeks later. 3 weeks later, she came in, I'm going over everything. How's the leg pain? She completely forgot about this leg pain that she had for an entire year. She's like, oh my God, I completely forgot about it. And then 6 months later, when I saw her again, it never came back. And she really stayed with the plan. She was drinking smoothies. She was really, you know, purposely hydrating in a better way. And a very simple example, but it was clear to me that it was just, you know, something as simple as that, you know, could have changed that.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And there are more impressive examples in the book as well, if you get the book. And finally, just give us a tease on the 5-day quench plan. I, you know, for more details, obviously, to do a deep dive, get the book.
Yeah.
What does that entail? I mean, 5 days, I mean, that's a doable thing.
Totally doable. We did it so you could do it during your work week. And basically it's a very specific, you know, you're going to front load your water. You're going to drink a glass before every meal. There's a smoothie or two involved in there. And then the second half of hydration, which we haven't talked about yet, is movement. And you have to move. And we're talking, this is in addition to whatever exercise you do. Mm-hmm. There are these micro movements because, I don't know if we have time. There's been this new discovery of fascia and how fascia works in
so
the body.
So many body workers talk to me about the fascia and how we have to really lubricate the fascia. The fascia becomes desiccated and stiff, and especially as you age, that's what happens.
Yes. Well, the exciting stuff was that it's only ever been researched on dried, desiccated cadavers.
Yes.
Until this one scientist said, "I'm going to put a microscope under living skin and really look at fascia," mm-hmm. and it was mind blowing because we see that fascia is a transport. It's a hydraulic pump. It literally transports hydration. It transports water and electricity. So the idea of you have to move your joints to lubricate them, we really understand now why. So that's the second part of the hydration is not only eating your water, drinking your water, you have to move. And
to distribute the water, because it's not enough just to pour it down your gullet and, you know, pee it out.
Yes.
It has to distribute to all the interstices of your body. And in fact, I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense because there was this big headline, kind of a clickbait headline recently about how scientists have discovered, lo and behold, after thousands of years of investigating the human body, a new organ. You know, it's like discovering a new planet beyond Pluto. And that organ is
fascia.
The fascia, the interstitial tissue, which is, you know, we thought it was just like, you know, a matrix or space in which the real organs hung out. But actually, it's a living and metabolizing organ in and of itself.
Yeah, we've always thought that a fluid gets moved via blood and lymph only.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're realizing that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Fascia is a delivery system. And so that's very exciting. Yeah, there's tons of research going on about fascia. And I think it's rightfully so because it's important.
Great. Okay, well, the book is just out. So are you going to do a big media tour? What's in store for you on Quench?
Yeah. So, tons of podcasts, some TV spots. It's going to be in O Magazine this summer. So look for it there. And it can be found at anywhere books are sold on June 12th is the drop date.
I think that's the drop date also for the release of this podcast, right around then. So, and, you know, I just checked online. You can pre-order the book, even if our podcast predates its publication.
Okay.
So is there a website for it? Because these days when you write a book, there's often an accompanying website.
No.
Okay.
The website is my website.
Okay,
so
good.
www.drdanacohen.com.
Okay, great. Because you couldn't get Quench because there's a beverage called Quench out already? Or I don't know. I'm just kidding.
No, I actually do have the website, but I decided against it. I'm going to keep it onto my website because there's going to be more books, hopefully.
Okay, great. Well, congratulations on the launch of your literary career, and I think it's a very, very important subject. I think a lot of people will benefit by picking up your book and reading it and implementing the 5-day Quench plan and perhaps integrating that approach into their lifestyle as, you know, sort of your complete portfolio of healthy habits, you know, diet, exercise, relaxation, yoga, movement, all those things. But hydration is certainly a key element that is all too often ignored. So thanks for your contribution.
Thank you. I'm so grateful.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For decades, I've been preaching about the importance of a regimen of basic supplements that everyone should consider part of their daily health routine. So I came up with an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the Intelligent Medicine lifestyle. The very same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. and check out my Intelligent Medicine Starter Kit. It's a short list of the basic supplements that I recommend as a starting point for those looking to take control of their health. They're the essential elements of a basic program that everyone could benefit from. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DierHoffmanStore.com. That's DierHoffmanStore.com.